Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. Before this episode starts, it's important to know that it is indeed a commentary episode of Season 6, Episode 17, Don't Meth With Me. And what that means is that while we are talking to each other, the episode is actually playing in the background. In fact, I request that Kyle turn down the sound of the episode while it's going so it doesn't keep coming through his microphone. We're going to keep going with this format just because I'm finding it a little easier to edit. I'm finding it a little more interesting, a little more organic, and a little easier to put together than older episodes. So going forward, it should still be every other Tuesday, but it'll be like this. So it might be better if you have the ability to watch the show NYPD Blue, which is on DVDs, Hulu in America, and somewhere else, which actually you'll find out in the middle of this episode, because something else is going to be changing about NYPD Blue Balls. But hey, let's not talk about it. Let's start the episode. Here we go. All right, Season 6, Episode 17, Don't Meth With Me. It's NYPD Blue Balls, and I'm Kirk.
Twin Towers!
Okay, well, we're doing another commentary episode, but on the phone, and we're going to see if that works. Kyle just shouted that there were the two towers.
The glory shot right smack dab in the face.
Right smack dab in the face, he says. So, like, we all deal with Karens, right? I can't imagine dealing with Karens when you have to ask them questions about a murder.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. That's why, like, I'm not trying to, like, pick a side here when it comes to the police. But, like,
when it comes to the popo.
I have to bet, like, being a police officer and dealing with white women has to be, like, super taxing.
Super taxing.
Yeah, like, it just has to, like, weigh on you all the time to constantly be stopped by, like, white women who feel offended by everything. So, like, that also has to be a taxing situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, the videos coming out from this pandemic of white women being taken in because they refuse to put on a mask have proven enough.
Yeah. Anyways, let's not, like, it's been 2 years. I don't ever want to talk about a mask again. Unless it's Jim Carrey's The Mask. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Jim Carrey's The Mask all the time. Also,
anyways, so, well, we're not going to talk about the fact that, like, they're talking to this lady about the murder of her sister.
Yeah, her sister, they come into this scene, the DOA was gagged, and she threw up through her gag and then choked on her own vomit and died.
Which is weird, because that's what I call a Saturday night.
This right now, the woman who is the sister of the DOA is letting them know that the DOA has a son who's into some goth shit and was trying to get money for some type of rave situations.
Those fucking goths, dude.
So many goths. The goths, man. They're a problem.
They're just a menace to society.
Well, the, yeah, this woman is, one of the things this woman's upset about is that her sister got the whole coin collection.
Yeah.
It is pretty interesting, because I can't imagine ever arguing over a coin collection with you.
Well, if it's worth a lot of money, we might be saying different things, you know?
Well, I already have a collection that's going to be worth a lot of money, Kyle, and that would be my Lego collection.
Yeah, you do. I don't have a collection of shit, so you already one-up on me on that. The only collection I have is the 1986 baseball card collection of the Topps year of baseball or whatever that I got when I was born. That's pretty much anything I got.
I can't remember the article, but I think it was like the New York Times posted that Lego sets are more valuable and gather more value than gold currently, which is kind of ridiculous.
Wow.
This is where Sibwoods gets really pissed off at a guy trying to help.
Yeah, but like, the dude is not really like helping in the beginning. It more feels, to me, it felt more like he was trying to like be involved, just to be involved.
He just wants to say that he talked to the police.
Yeah.
But Sipowicz literally threatens to beat him and leave him laying on the ground.
Yeah. For no reason.
Well, he got sarcastic. The guy got sarcastic by saying, aren't you guys investigating a murder?
I just find it funny that most sarcastic people hate when people are sarcastic to them.
It's a good point.
Like,
Sipowicz
like
is a sarcastic kid.
Like, prime example, our father.
Well, we all do it too. We all do it too. I'm going to be honest. I get a little upset when you guys have decided to be sarcastic, like when I'm getting you food. Or when I'm being put out in some way, and then suddenly it's funny to make Kirk angry by being an asshole about something. I get annoyed, I'll be honest.
Well, anyway.
This is NYPD Blue Balls.
What makes us laugh is how upset you get. Like it's not the situation. Like, the situation probably sucks, but it's like sometimes it's the irrationality of your anger that is just so funny.
That's right. You are taking joy in my pain. And somehow, that's funny. Ha-ha!
Is that my NYPD Blue?
We just got out of the credits here. Commentary episode. That's how we roll now for some reason.
So it's really weird when they have scenes like this, and I like see buildings or see businesses that are still around.
In New York? Well, they're not. It's probably not the same business.
Some of them are still the same. Like, there are a lot of old businesses around that, like, still look like they've been around since, like, the 80s.
Well, maybe. All right.
But, yeah.
Did you find that this guy is so annoying because he doesn't stand still?
No. Like, something happened. Like, something happened to him mentally, and you're like, he broke right now.
Yeah,
all this makes sense to me.
And he believes that a gypsy woman told him to make a change, so now he's got to move to Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Even though Metaboy says Lawrence, Kansas.
Well, you don't listen to Metaboy. But... And he also, he pulls this move where he's like, I'm quitting, here's the fucking keys.
Yeah.
I'm out, bitch.
This is also a little foreshadowing and kind of important. I think this is one of the first mentions of Citywide Courier.
Yeah, that's true.
And that plays a huge part in the next couple of seasons, or at least season or something.
And here's Mark Roberts. Played by Michael Harney, who you may know from Orange is the New Black. I know his IMDb is pushing another show that I've never heard of before, but I know him from Orange is the New Black.
He was also in the first season of True Detective.
He was?
I think so.
He's also really good in it too. He's also in Nero? Soy Nero?
I think Woody Harrelson and him are, like, really good friends back in the day, and then when Matthew McConaughey comes back, and he's like crazy McConaughey. Woody Harrelson like looks into him, and like I think he ends up killing him on his boat or something like that, if I remember correctly.
We kind of glossed over when he just said straight up to Kirkendall, "You could pose naked for money."
Yeah. Oh, he's constantly hitting on Kirkendall.
In that fun way where it's, like, not smooth and incredibly in bad taste?
Oh, so the fun way.
So the 90s way. I'm sorry. The from beginning of time until basically right now in for most dudes' way.
So, Roberts is here.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of speaking in code. He's not really telling them, like, what's happening.
Yeah, it seems like every time Mike Roberts comes into an episode, all of his information has to be, like, dragged out of him, because he's so happy to be involved again.
he's being spotted because he works for Citywide Courier.
And he hired the guy he thinks may have set this up.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make sure that they have some discretion so they don't let the owner of the company know that he is the reason that this young guy was setting up the robbery.
Yeah. When's the last time you heard someone call someone a crout?
This episode. It's one of those, one of those fun white people slurs, a slur for white people that you don't hear very often because they phased them out faster because they were white. But
what's another one?
Polak is one.
Polak. WAP. Does a WAP count?
Yeah. Even though I believe, is it Cardi B's trying to take that back for wet vaginas?
So wet.
But what was that one? I Have a Dream, the episode before this one? No, two episodes before this one. They had the slurs for everybody. Because they had the Italian guy and the Polish guy fighting. So they were just slinging those at each other.
Guinea. You can say guinea. Anyway, so Mike gives them, tips them off to who it is.
Mike takes a sweet-ass time getting out.
Because I think he's taking a peek at the rear ends of the ladies.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's gotta take those looks when he can get them.
Yeah, you gotta take a look at the caboose.
That wagon. I've heard that is a term that guys like to use for butts. Wagons. Because they're in tow. In fact, I watched this YouTube show, Funhouse. They play video games and stuff. And sometimes they have the wagon minute where one of their guys on the camera just starts talking about the butt of a female character. It's time for wagon minute. But this is an interesting thing because we have a little bit of a conversation about drug culture with this gentleman and what Special K does to the body.
Yeah, but like, okay, so this dude's supposed to be a goth, right?
He's like a half goth.
He's like goth light.
Yeah, he's crystal goth.
He's like the time Stan wanted to be a goth.
Oh yeah. He's goth, but like he didn't want to put on all the makeup this morning. He had a bad night. This is the part where you're like, Jesus, dude, just leave. Where he's like holding on to Sipowicz's hand forever.
But he can't. Something's on his mind.
Something is on his mind. He has to get it out to the Sipowicz.
Yeah, because he always remember that, like, the detectives say that, like, you know, if you listen, they're willing to give it up, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those episodes where, because earlier Russell said, oh, did Mike seem like upset to you guys? And then right now Sipowicz can tell something's going on and he was going to have a conversation with him. Where it's like these detectives have intuition on like every person they talk to. And this drug user,
Joey,
is trying to let them know, hey man, I'm clearly not on Special K because I'm wired up. I'm on meth. And this guy gets lippy because he found out he has to stay for a little while so cops can have a conversation.
And I mean, if I didn't do anything wrong, and I had to sit in a police station longer for no reason, I'd be annoyed.
But you were holding Special K. You were holding ketamine.
Well, never
mind. You gotta know they're not gonna just let you leave.
conversations in a bathroom.
I think because the blocking is cool, just for the for shooting the scene.
Yeah, but the echo must be unbelievable.
And you gotta know, at least like three times in this entire series, someone's been taking a shit when one of these conversations occurred and they just didn't know they were in there.
Has to be.
Just by how many conversations happen. It's also a co-ed bathroom.
Percentage-wise, like, the amount of people in there, like, the amount of times they have, like, important conversations in there, someone had to have been dropping the deuce.
Also, quick question. This scene made me wonder, is Michael Harney not a good actor?
No, I think he is a good actor.
Maybe it's just the accent and just his mannerisms. I don't know. I just found it really annoying playing a guy.
No, he was great. He was great in the beginning.
In the beginning of the show, you mean?
Like in the first couple of seasons. I just think he knows that his time is up. He's leaving the show. His character's leaving the show soon, so I think he's hamming it up a little bit.
He's getting a little hammy. He's having the William Shatner special. Well, he's also...
Yeah, but I mean, he's also trying in this scene right here in the bathroom, he's like trying to tell Andy something without telling him something. You know what I mean?
And Andy can tell, yeah. I'm sorry, and Andy could tell that he's trying to tell him something, but can't tell him something for some reason.
Yeah, and like it's obviously weighing really heavily on Mike. And Andy actually, like, the thing with Andy and Mike is I think they, like, work with each other, but I don't think Andy respected Mike. But yeah. I think during this conversation, for a second, Andy realizes there's something, like, legit going on with Mike in his head, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's also... Sorry.
I think this part right here where he goes from, like, acting very soft and then he starts talking about the junkie informant and he, like, freaks out. I think he's doing... I like this scene. I think he does a really good job, like, of conveying somebody who's kind of losing it in a way. But trying to hold it all together, but, like, doesn't want to be considered, like, weak and give up his, give up, and rat himself out, basically.
Well, I also think part of it is... Because one thing I hate about his character, just as a whole thing, is, like, every time... After he left the precinct, every single time he shows up, he's clearly, like, enjoying the fact that they have to talk to him. He's like, oh my gosh, they have to talk to me. I'm back in the squad. I have information. Like, this is so cool, like, I get to be back. So, like, this scene right here, I'm like, he just is so glad he finally has Sipowitz's attention. That it's not really about telling him anything. It's more of like,
is it that, or is he just, or does it like he doesn't feel like he's anything but a cop, and he feels like he let it down? You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Like maybe he's like when he's there, that's when he feels like important and like he was somebody when he was a cop, and he's struggling with like who he is now. Compared to what he used to be, like he used to be like a cop and this like respected person, and now he's just like kind of like not. I don't know. He still throws in a jab at wanting the lone time with Kirkendall, so he's still awesome.
Well, he's also doing this thing where he's like trying to be personable with everybody, but they're like, whatever, Mike. We just need the information, and that's the part that's also sad, where it's like no one actually wants to talk to you, buddy. Now here's where we get a little information on K-holes and how K-holes work.
I never heard of a K-hole.
You hadn't?
This must have been something they did like a lot in the 90s.
I've heard about this, because ketamine, from what I understand about ketamine, never used it. It's kind of, because it's a horse tranquilizer. So it just kind of fucking knocks your ass out. So when you don't have it, just the chemical imbalance in your brain kind of just puts you into a depression, I guess. And this dude is like, see, I'm not in a K-hole right now. I'm clearly jonesing for some methamphetamine.
I had no idea what I've heard of the word ketamine. I've heard it's like a drug.
Yeah.
I may have heard at one point it was a horse tranquilizer.
Uh-huh.
But I had no fucking clue. Like, I know your classics. I know your meth. I know your heroin. I know your cocaine. I know your marijuana. Your, like, your angel dust and shit.
The biggies.
But, like, ketamine. Yeah, you know, your shrooms, your acid. You know, like, if this is 95.5 KLOS, I know all the oldies. No.
That's revealing our age, if anything.
Like, this isn't gonna make any sense, and not a lot of people are gonna understand this, but I went down a fucking rabbit hole about Mark and Brian. I don't know why, it's just like just today I just like searched, I don't know why, but I just, cause I guess Mark got a new radio show, and I was like, what the fuck, how can you just like get a new radio show and ditch Brian, blah blah blah. Like, I went down this rabbit hole, and like, you come to find out that like not a lot of people liked Mark, but they fucking loved Brian.
People
and,
were choosy,
like fans too, like you go on all these like fan forums, and they would just like talk mad shit about Mark, and how like when they would do like gigs and shit, like Brian would stay and meet all the fans, and Mark would just leave, or like he'd be rude to fans and like not be nice and not be cordial and shit. Like, I don't know. Anyways, just a little side talk for radio.
Little Mark and Brian information. I wanted to mention
this dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that this dude is actually pretty sweet. Besides the meth, he figures out what's going on pretty well when they're asked about that guy's mother, the DOA. About robbing his place. He's like, obviously this isn't about drugs. What's the fucking problem? And then he puts it together and he's like, this is the guy you want to talk to. Can I get the fuck out of here? Which I was like, cool. This guy kind of has it together if it wasn't for the meth. This is the lawyer for the estate of the DOA. And he also had a little bit of a bone cone for her.
Yeah. And so this dude's name is Epstein.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other woman's name is, but like, The question I ask every episode, Jewish?
He seems a little Jewish. He seems
I mean all of them.
Oh, the whole group. Even the son, the one that we meet at the very end of the episode.
Why is his back turned to this?
Yeah, it's a weird move. It's almost like a power move, like I am in mourning, here's my back. Also, at time of recording, Buffalo Bulls are out of the playoffs, so are the Kansas City Chiefs and some other team, the Niners.
Okay. We need to start this over.
No, we
it's
don't.
The Buffalo Bills, not the Buffalo Bulls.
Did I say the Buffalo Bulls?
Yes, you did.
I don't think I did. I mean, we have game tape, but I'll figure it out.
Maybe there was a blip in my headphone, but I thought I heard Bulls. Buffalo's out, Chiefs are out, 49ers are out. The Bengals and the 49ers. It's the Bengals and the Rams.
Bengals and Rams. Anyway, what we get is that this Justin character is a piece of shit, confirmed by the lawyer.
He's basically a young kid who comes from money, who's just hanging out in shady business things, like just being a weirdo goth kid.
Well, there is a question I have about him when he finally shows up. That doesn't speak to his character, but it is a question that I do have about him. But we're not there yet, so I'm not going to ask it. And I probably shouldn't have mentioned it now. More Twin Towers.
There's a lot. Like, I feel like there is foreshadowing.
There's no foreshadowing, Kyle. They did not know 9/11 was coming.
It starts now. I've watched again through like season 7 and 8. I'm in season 9 now. There was a lot of Twin Tower shots up until season 9.
Well, it's because it was.
And then obviously, no more.
It was the highest thing in the skyline. Of course, it's going to be there.
But I'm not trying to like be funny, like. A lot of people like lost their lives. Very sad day. But beforehand, there weren't as many. I
All of this whole thing is dumb because I feel like it's just catching everybody up. Like, oh, we're talking to the dispatch guy because Mike Roberts gave it to us, but we don't want to tell him that Mike Roberts gave it to us for some reason.
They're basically translating Mike and Andy's conversation.
Well, just the Mike conversation, really, because they didn't talk about this guy that much.
Yeah, true, very true.
But this guy, you know, they turn the screws on him, and he essentially admits to doing it when they say that they caught the guy, until he says, well, they're doing something else this afternoon if he's not in prison. Then they're like, well, then he's not in prison. So it was kind of, kind of bullshit for that guy.
Yeah, a little bit. He gets screwed a little bit.
Also, could you do me a favor? Could you turn it down slightly wherever you're watching it? I think I hear it through your headphones.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Thank you.
Okay.
I just don't want to get a flag for something stupid, even though it won't matter that much.
No, I don't know rules, so fair enough. I don't know rules.
I have never understood a gambling problem, and I think that's a good thing, but...
Oh, I can 100% see a gambling problem. That's why I don't gamble.
I don't gamble because I just feel like it's a waste of money. Just every time I have an opportunity to gamble, I'm like, this just seems like I'll waste the money, so I don't do it.
Especially like sports now, like you could put $5 down on something and win like up to 200, like in a day, and like in a matter of like a 2 hour, 3 hour basketball game, like that's easy money, man. Like that's like I can get why you could get like caught up in that. And there's kind of an art to it, and like if you're able to like actually like combine, you know, bets and all that shit, and like do all that, like you can actually like make it like a livelihood. Like I could see why people get real addicted to it.
You're starting to sound like Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems.
No, as I'm saying, like it gets like it becomes like an obsession for people. Kirk, there are people who have like fucking notebooks.
Real quick, before you say that, that dispatcher guy, does he look like he should play the Joker? Not the Joker, the Riddler. Never mind.
Dude, with the fucking barbed wire around his neck.
No, the other guy. I'm talking about Steve Young, the dispatcher. He just looked like the Joker.
He looked like he could be, like, at the beginnings of, like, a DC villain, for sure.
So, and sorry, I completely distracted.
I'm just talking about this big buff guy with barbed wire tattooed around his neck.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, he does a great job just because he's supposed to be a dumb, you know, muscle guy who's in prison for robberies.
Do you think those tattoos are real?
No. No way.
Maybe not the neck one.
I don't think any of them are real.
I think he got the job maybe because one of those is real.
Because they look really bad.
I mean, this is the 90s.
And that was a big point that the meth head brought up. It was like, does he have tattoos? Yeah, but nothing good. Because he has, like, shitty... shitty...
What a fucking burn.
I understand it. I mean, I don't have tattoos at all. But one thing I've always said is, if I'm going to get one, I'm going to make sure to do my research to get one that looks decent. Because bad tattoos are sad.
Put a piece of shit on your arm, you know?
And this is actually a pretty funny joke where they make fun of him for using the name Edison because they have a word that he used that name at a gold trader in Chinatown. He also, oh, what's that guy's name? He kind of looks like Eli Roth.
I was going to say about Greg Giraldo.
Oh, Greg Giraldo. Yeah, a little Greg Giraldo in there.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Greg Giraldo.
I went down like a roast YouTube hole with about Greg Giraldo. That
dude,
is.
So did I.
That dude's very funny. I also felt bad for this character because he made a point once he starts admitting, like, yeah, I made that woman as comfortable as possible. Oh, he also drops the F word about Justin. He calls him the F word, which is not cool.
No, it was cool back then.
Only if you're Mr. Garrison on South Park.
It was the 90s. Everyone who wasn't normal was the F word.
You almost said it. I heard it. Cancel Kyle. Hashtag cancel Kyle.
It sucks that I thought about it.
But yeah, I feel bad because, like, this dude was like, I made sure to not hurt her. I just was there to steal stuff. She wasn't supposed to be there. I adjusted the gag, and all the while they're like, yeah, she died.
Dude, the most fucked up line in that statement is like, did she tell you how I readjusted it for her?
Yeah.
And he says it like a little kid, and it's like, fuck, dude. So here they go. They're about to do another job. They're letting Fancy know.
Fancy's speaking in this episode. They give Roberts a little bit of props with a broken clock is right twice a day.
I think that's a perfect example. I think if you put Roberts trying to talk to Fancy about what just happened, you know, I think if you switch Fancy and Sipowicz in that bathroom scene, I think Fancy doesn't give Roberts the time of day and he just gets out of there. Whereas with Sipowicz, he kind of like opens up a little bit more.
Gives a little bit of time.
Here comes the robbery.
One of those classic NYPD Blue action scenes.
So is it funny that James is dressed exactly like the other Hispanic guy who's about to rob City White Corey fan?
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, Kyle, but it is kind of accurate.
Like all Hispanic guys just wore like big heavy flannels and jeans.
Quick, well, isn't that character named Ramon too?
Yeah, like Ramon Marquez or something like that.
Our robbers are
gang. Yeah.
Our robbers are Hispanic. Well, get the denim jackets and heavy flannels. Now this guy is a famous face, and I couldn't figure it out until I went to IMDb and saw his like promotional photo, and it was like The Wire.
Lieutenant Rawls from The Wire.
Yep.
He was also in Gotham. He's in a lot of things.
I did not know he was in Gotham, but
yeah,
he also and I mean no offense to the casting director of NYPD Blue, but. This dude's energy and his, like, just his presence seems like he'd be in a much more powerful position than the head of Citywide Courier. Like, the second he comes in, I'm like, oh, so he's like a chief of deeds or something. Like, he just has that kind of presence, but he's just the head of this, like, carrier company.
Yeah, but you also don't, but the thing is like, you also don't know what his relationship with Mike is.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, we know that Mike can be, like, fucking, like, unbearable, can, like, weigh down on you, Mike Roberts is one of those guys that you aren't, like, you're not excited to see at work all the time. You know what I mean? and so we don't know how this guy feels, you know, mm-hmm. And we also don't know all the, like, bullshit that Mike has done at his job before this. Like, just because he did this, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, but he disrespects Mike by saying he wasn't asking if he was ever really a cop. And that pissed Mike off.
And the way Mike tries to play it off is so sad and awkward. Where he's like, yeah, that's how they talk to each other. They try to impugn your dignity, your integrity. And you're like, okay, well, it's clearly not what was going on here. But okay, Mike.
Kirk, I think he's playing a guy who is, like, losing it.
Yeah, that's true. He is. He's losing it.
He doesn't know who he is. Like, he's not a cop anymore. He can't get respect at his job. Like,
Kyle,
the people at his old job don't respect him. Like, what are you gonna say?
Kyle, you are a Mike Roberts apologist.
Oh no, I'm not an apologist. He's a horrible human being. But like, he's like horrible. The shitty human beings in the world still like can break mentally and emotionally, and that's what's happening, I think, to him.
Also, this scene kind of redeemed him in my mind a little bit. I agree, like, horrible people could still be human beings, and they are human beings. But here, where he straight up tells John to his face, hey man, I'm not gonna do it, but shit is afoot with you that you need to be prepared for. Was so much...
He basically says, like, I was hired to kill you.
I think he was saying more of, like, I know that someone is looking to hurt you. I may not have been hired to do it, and I may not know exactly when, but someone's gonna hurt you.
Fair enough.
Because I never thought...
He is very vague about it.
And the whole Barbra Streisand thing at the end, I was like, what the fuck, dude? You don't have to do that.
Well, gays love Barbra Streisand, so...
Not all gays. I'm sure I could find a couple gays that don't like Barbra Streisand.
Nope, all gays.
I felt like this guy did a great job acting. I also thought I recognized him in something, and then I realized he just looks like Rick.
That's you a little bit.
But apparently he's on Narcos. The very successful show, Narcos.
Okay, yeah. It's way more grown up, so it makes sense now.
Yeah, the picture that was on his IMDb, I was like, are you sure this is the same person? He's also on Mayans MC.
Who are like small characters on here end up going doing a lot of things. Kind of interesting.
But he says this thing that I wanted to ask you about, where he's like, I bet I've banged three women to every one you have. And then he's like, when I'm on K, I think, or when I'm flying, I'm up for anything. So are we to understand that this dude is like a pansexual fuck machine?
Well, he says he's specific and says three women to your one.
And then they've been hinting at the idea that he might be gay or like leaning towards homosexual tendencies. So I'm just kind of wondering, is it like, does he just do orgies with a bunch of different people? Is that his?
Oh, maybe.
Is that his deal? Is he just like, hey man, If you got
an orifice, I'll fill it.
If you want a party, I brought the cake. That didn't make a lot of sense, but I said it.
You got the cum, I got the dumpster.
Okay, well, that was a little more direct. They use that K-hole information they learned from the other guy to kind of turn him, because clearly he's having an issue.
Yeah, he does a really good job acting like someone who's on drugs.
There was only one line he gives that I was like, what the fuck was that? They should have retake it. They should retake it. But
I see a lot of people who look like that walk into my job.
On the subways?
No, like the literal store that I work in.
Okay, don't say where it is, because I can't edit this as easy as other things.
Do you not have any fucking, like, people on, like, meth and K? Like, K, now that I know what people, like, how they're supposed to act when they're on it, like, it's fucking unbelievable, dude.
Is the scene coming up here? I think so. Yeah. The line coming up when he talks to Epstein. Because Epstein comes up to check on the case.
In an effort to keep the show going but cutting out things that need to be removed, here is a short ad for twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses, the Twitch stream where I, Kirk, play video games and watch public domain films. That's twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses. Back to the show.
Where he says this line, I confess to having laid out the floor plan and believe she'd be out playing bridge. And it's like, what? What happened?
I think he's just having an episode. I think it's fucking hilarious. Every time I watch it, I laugh.
I thought she'd be out having bridge. And I was like, what, dude? And he's obviously fucked up because he thinks that's his attorney. Also, that shirt is shiny. Yeah. I never noticed how shiny that shirt was.
Again, okay, so I take back what I said earlier when I was like, oh, are these kids supposed to be goth? Most goth kids, like, don't walk around in their makeup all the time.
They save it for the goth conventions and the get-togethers and the whatnot.
Oh, I don't know. I guess, do you have any friends who used to be a goth? Like, can we get some questions answered?
I might have to call some people.
I don't think I know any goths.
Calling all goths, we got questions.
I do have questions. I would be interested to learn, like, or ask, like, questions about that, like, subculture.
It is, I mean, it's a lot of commitment, that's for sure. And a lot of metal and a lot of snapping things.
Yeah, a lot of big boots.
I couldn't do it because I just don't have the time or energy. Anyway, with a little more time to explain, these breaks in the show are ways for me to edit out things that we talked about without stopping the flow of the episode, which I know is ironic because I just stopped the flow of the episode. But if you are watching the episode as you are listening to the podcast, it'll stay on a track with the show, but I've cut out things that we said that I cannot put out for podcast listening. If you want to know where you can watch the show, to watch with us as we do a commentary episode, or to just watch the show, NYPD Blue is currently on Hulu, and according to Reddit, in February of 2022, NYPD Blue is coming to Disney Plus in Australia and New Zealand. I'm not sure how the mouse is okay with that, but it seems like the mouse is okay with racial slurs and man-ass and sexual content. So if you're in New Zealand or Australia, get yourself Disney Plus to watch The Blue. Anyway, we're going back to the show. See you in a little bit.
I love how Medavoy drags Mike Roberts twice, when it's like, Medavoy, God, you're such a... He's like, talking about a classic screw-up, Mike Roberts. And then they talk about how he seemed to be out of sorts. And John's, you know, knows that something's going up. But then Medavoy chimes in again. Medavoy chimes in and was like, yeah, he's a classic sorry-ass Mike Roberts. Like, shut up, Medavoy. You're the Donnie of the crew.
Cooler than that, man.
But yeah, like Sipowicz, because Sipowicz got the inside, talk with Mike. He knows that something's up, but nobody else does. And John knows exactly what's going on, but doesn't want to tell anybody.
Okay, so, like, this is the beginning. I'll save it for later.
Well, it is the beginning of something. You can say that.
No. It was going to be... I'll save it for later.
But yeah, we're at the credits of the episode. Anything you have to say before we head out in regards to this one?
Yeah, just going forward, like, keep a real close eye on John's acting. They give him a lot more screen time. In about maybe like 6 or 7 episodes, I'm going to ask you, can he act or not?
What are you talking about? He does a decent job.
Yeah, but there's some scenes where he's forced to be emotional, and, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll obviously we'll get there, but From what I remember of John, because I watched all of these episodes. I mean, I've watched all of season six while noting them and whatnot. I really like how it kind of comes together for John and for everybody else involved. So I always thought he did a decent job, but I guess we're going to debate that on future episodes.
How it comes together is, like, it's good, it's put together, and it's put together well, and it's great. It's in question. What's in question is his acting.
Okay, we'll talk about his acting when we get there. But I also thought that I didn't think Michael Harney was doing a great job, but maybe that's just because the character annoys me so much, and I don't know anything. So we'll find out as we get closer.
There are some. Well, I mean, like foreshadowing, there are some episodes coming up where his acting is atrocious. I just didn't think it was in this episode.
I think he actually
does like a pretty good job.
And the last thing I'll say about him, his character, and Mike Roberts in general, was like, when he's leaving after being dressed down and then trying to talk his way out of it, Kirkendall's like, have a good one, Mike, or something, and he's like, or thank you, and he's like, oh, poor nada, whatever brings us proximity. And I was like, what? You thought that was going to turn it around for you, Mike? Oh, man. Well, anything else before we wrap it up?
No.
You stifled yourself, but this is leading towards the final push of the season, which ramps up to a very specific thing.
Yeah, it's leading up to, like, the final major storyline.
And, you know, for better or for worse, it's coming, whether we like it or not, so... We seeing you on the next episode, season 6, episode 18. I forgot the title. But.
Oh, it's right here. It's called Mr. Roberts.
Ah, Mr. Roberts. Oh, it's the. Okay. Yeah, I know which one. I'm not too happy about it, but.
Yeah.
Later, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, let's talk about his acting next week.
All right.
And I'm serious. I haven't watched him in so long, but like the first season that he's in for whatever, when he plays like a major role, and it's like I don't know if you've read about this or not. It's my own, like, just feeling it on my own, and knowing the little I know. If Sipwith isn't as popular as it is, I think Mike Roberts' character is a part of the show longer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. If Sipwith didn't take so much of the star power right out the gate, then he would have been around as part of the, you know.
But Sipwith is supposed to, like, not, not supposed to be past, like, the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes, right? Something like that. But he is, because he's popular, so they keep him. And Mike Roberts and Sipwith in the beginning kind of have the same shit going on. They're both, like, cops, but they're both, like, they both do shitty things as cops. Mm-hmm. And you don't need two of those guys to be, like, main characters of your story.
Yeah.
You only need the one guy who looks like a really shitty cop. You don't need both of them to be there the whole time, like, being the shitty cop, blah, 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 whatever. I don't know, I just feel like he would have been there longer if Sipwith doesn't last longer. But then maybe the show doesn't last as long maybe Sipwith is the reason the show lasts long, you know?
Yeah, I get you. It's also, like, huge speculation about shit that we can't really do anything about, or we can't really know, but...
Yeah, I'll freak out, yeah.
But it's weird because it's such a good and such a well-written character, and... That's almost like Metavoy, where if we're annoyed to see him every time, then he's doing his job.
Yeah.
So then they give him, like, a really weighty thing to deal with. So then it's like, is it just me not liking his character, or is it me not liking how he's acting right now? So it's you know, I guess it speaks to how good he is and how good the character is no matter what.
But I will also say this will be the last thing I say about the, like, okay. you've said his name a couple times.
Michael Harney.
I would like to know if he was in True Detective or not. I'm going to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Harvey or Harney?
H-A-R-N-E-Y.
Okay. So, okay, here we go. IMDb.
I can't find it. Oh, he was.
He was, right?
He was in 3 episodes in the first season, yes.
Yeah. He's not in it a lot. He's in, like, a flashback, and then he's, like, someone Woody Harrelson goes to visit later on when they're older to talk about, like, the fucking thing that was going on. Mm-hmm. So, he has a lot of shit to his name. A lot of shit to his name. And a lot of different things. A lot of TV shows, some movies here and there, Stars Born, Widows. I've only really seen him in 3 things, and this isn't to talk shit about his acting, but in all 3 of those things, he basically plays the same character. True Detective, he's like a shitty like cop who like is a cop but does shitty things behind the scenes. Same thing in Orange is the New Black, but in a prison with women. And then Mike Roberts. So, it's not like his acting chops are like... It's not like he's fucking Daniel Day-Lewis, you know?
He also apparently was in the show Weeds, where he played
a detective.
He plays a detective, so possibly the same exact thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at what he does. Like, he's found his niche, but like... I'm not saying you do have a point when you can say like his acting is maybe all like up to snuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Well.
Anyways.
Well, that's it.
Anyways, as the guy's been working since '94, and I'm here talking about how he can't act. So yeah, let's go.
Well, I noticed something in his IMDb. He's a part of the Star Wars universe, so. I mean,
I take it all back. He's fucking Steve in Deadwood. Take it all back.
If they're in Deadwood, my opinion completely changes.
I mean, he just plays a racist white guy, which is not far off from being a detective. but in New York City, but during the '90s. But Steve is different. He had to be is a different ish character. So I take it back, but. Yeah, anyways.
Alright, well, Michael Harney, I don't want to spoil a lot, but he is involved in the next episode. It's called Mr. Roberts, so we'll be seeing a little bit more of him next time on NYPD Blue Balls. But until then, have a good one. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. I truly appreciate it. Please go rate and review the show if you have a moment. It helps people see it in the algorithm, and hopefully they end up watching the show NYPD Blue. Because let's be honest, that's what this is all about. I also wanted to let you know that I'm going to be trying my best to go through old episodes and remove things that are offensive and alienating and weird. Because I'll be honest, we've grown up a little bit, we've changed, and we don't want to hurt anybody and we don't want to make anybody feel alienated and hurt by something we said, even if it was made in jest. So I'm going to try my best to go back through old episodes and remove things that are just way over the line. And hopefully I can do that for you. Also, make sure to check out Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, True Blue, written about the first couple seasons, What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles about the show. And hope you like the random breaks in the show, because I imagine that's going to keep happening, where I have to edit things out. Have a good one. Peace.